Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined with my amazing co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Today, Michelle, we're going to be talking about so many things regarding women in ministry.
Yes.
But first, women that are exceptional examples in the Bible. And the reason why I hesitate is because I think this is a very loaded topic. The woman herself is a complex being.
I agree.
So I think it's amazing to have this ongoing application of God to how he designed us as a boundary and as a reminder of why we're here and the wonderful potential that we have to serve him. You know, I was telling you before the show, a few years ago, I was going through a really hard time with unemployment, and I was starting to question a lot of things about my identity, a lot of things about my faith. And I read a book by Angie Smith called What Women Fear, because there were a lot of fears that I had. And I remember she wrote a statement that has stuck with me for a very long time, and it was the definition of success.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And she said, success is doing what God wants you to do.
Okay,
success is when God speaks to you, you hear him, and you do what he says.
Wow.
Very different from what the atmosphere proclaims as success.
Oh, what the media?
The media, sometimes our own insecurities,
sure.
Right? There are so many things that tell us, no, you need to strive. You need to be more. And once you've accomplished one thing, you better get on to the next one.
I watched a TikTok video on how to arrange your refrigerator, and let me tell you, I'm failing stupendously.
Gosh. Wow. I want to watch that video.
Don't. You'll just hurt yourself.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. That's the balance that we have to have. I could do this. This is very much me. But is this going to cause more harm than good? And I think this is the ironic aspect of a woman's mind. You know, we're so beautiful. You know, we were so tenderly made, and God has so much for us. But we can definitely have the simplified definition, the true definition of success, doing what God wants us to do. It gets choked out daily.
True. And how many people are going to see how your refrigerator looks, girls?
Right.
You know, with all
right.
the clear plastic containers and everything arranged so artfully.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we would probably spend time and money doing that. But will we spend time and money arranging our soul? So we're going to talk about exceptional women. And you're going to have to figure, are they exceptionally good or exceptionally bad?
Well, I do think we have potential for both, Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
And I think both of them are calling our name each day.
Yep.
But, you know, that's the wonderful thing about the examples that you're going to expound upon and the ones that I'm going to talk a little bit about. You know, I think we have to choose every day. It's not a one-time choice what kind of woman we are aspiring to be. Are we trying to be grounded in Christ, and no matter how we have to die or sacrifice, we're following him? Or are we trying to kind of find our loopholes and say, okay, well, we can add God on to my plan. There will still be someone who's blessed. But that wasn't the way that these women thought. They did not even fathom compromise. Or if they did, that is not what was recorded about them, because their faithfulness to God and the conviction he gave them was so powerful. We're still reading about it today.
I love to start out with Deborah. So if you think a woman can't be a leader, here's Deborah, right in Judges 4, and she's a judge in Judges. All right. She wasn't a pastor.
Right.
She wasn't in Jerusalem in the temple. She wasn't preaching in a church. She was sitting under a palm tree.
Right. I was going to say Deborah's palm tree or Deborah's palm tree. And she would handle a lot of the quarrels that were happening amongst Israel. Amazing.
So here's a woman of influence who knew her realm, her sphere, and she was available.
Right. Right. And, you know, she really cared for Israel, right? Because they were God's chosen people. And what was on his heart was on her heart. We are trying to reinstate a lot of the things that God had originally said to Israel about following him, worshiping him only, not having a divided heart. And this is how she's remembered in Judges. This is how she's remembered in biblical history. She is the one that brought Israel's heart back to God. She returned them to their first love.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What an amazing thing to have written about you.
Beautiful.
And we talked about how that probably wasn't easy either, right? Leading a group of people, there's definitely so many different factors within that. So even as you're following the voice of God, there are some trials that are headed your way, you know? But I love the picture that's painted of her staying steadfast, inviting Barak. You know, she wasn't saying, no, this is going to be a one-woman show. I want all the credit. I want to do this all by myself. I'm going to go to the one that God has led me to go to, and we're going to do this together. But we're just going to be walking in his will. We're walking in what he's already done, because he is a faithful God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. I like to contrast Deborah with Jezebel.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. She's the queen. She's married to King Ahab, and she is a murderer.
Yeah.
She's killed the prophets of the Lord.
Right.
She treats her husband like he's a little baby when he can't get Naboth's vineyard, which he apparently imagined as a perfect vacation spot. You know, he wanted to sit there and sip his coffee. It was near the palace, very convenient. He couldn't get it, so he went home, and it says he threw himself on his bed and pouted.
Oh, wow.
And she came in, and apparently she had encouraged this kind of behavior. She's like, don't worry, honey, I'll take care of it. And she took care of it. She had Naboth killed.
Wow.
You know, and it's like, really? Is
right.
that what you want to use your influence and your words for?
But you know what? I think this is a really interesting subtopic within this, Michelle, because as we grow in our faith and as we learn more about who we are and how people respond to us, including our husbands, our children, even the leaders around us, if we're part of leadership teams, we can start to carry this banner of manipulation.
Ow, ow, ow.
And I'm sorry, but it's a temptation that all of us have to face.
You're not wrong.
You know, a lot of times when you realize your capability, the immediate emotion beyond that is not humility. It's usually curiosity and eagerness and thinking in a wayward way because you have a flesh. But the thing I loved about Deborah is that God knew that she was surrendered to him first and foremost. And that's the hope that we have. No matter what crazy things are going on in your mind or your heart, when you make the decision of the will, this is what I'm doing for God, no matter what else is going on in me or telling me to turn away, I am going to be obedient to God. That is a great example that even though there are these things that challenge us, yes, we do have the capability of saying, quiet down, contrasting voices, we are moving forward in the Lord. Now, it's a lot easier said than done, but I love these. I love these examples of women that show us, hey, it is possible. It is very, very possible, you know. We're just striving for so much a lot of the time as women. And, you know, I read another book and it was called Why Her? It's a very interesting book.
I've read that.
You have?
Yes.
It's awesome. There's an entire chapter about lack and the lie of lack because we have a tendency to compare ourselves immediately as women. But one thing that she said that I think is definitely exemplified through Deborah's example and Ruth's example and Mary's example is if one of us is able to carry out God's plan, then it's for the betterment of the kingdom. And so we should be rejoicing, not comparing, you know, not planning secretly, but saying, wait a minute, if this is about God's kingdom and I am here for God's kingdom, okay, so it's going to be her that carries out this plan. That doesn't mean I get to be against her. Her gain is not my loss.
True.
I need to be having an ear saying, okay, Lord, thank you for the way you're using her for the betterment of the church or for this group or for this ministry. And my heart is still open to what you want me to do. I'm ready, God. I'm ready for whatever battle we're going to be fighting together.
And it's beautiful because in Judges 4, we've got this triangle of Deborah, Barak, and then Jael.
Right.
Who is an amazing woman.
Yes.
She's a housewife.
Wow.
Period. That's it. She's a housewife.
Wow.
Her husband had taken away from her city, taken her away from her city, her family, her church, moved her out into the desert. Mm. Oh, that's fabulous. Away from everybody. And he made an alliance with the enemy.
Wow.
So you may feel like your husband and Satan are best friends, girls, but you know, that doesn't mean you get to rebel.
Right.
Or be careful you don't confuse who the enemy really is.
Wow, yes.
Jael never attacked her husband, even though she couldn't have been happy about this. She had a well-stocked kitchen. with milk and a tent peg and a hammer. Very interesting tools.
She must have also had a very nurturing spirit because she was very convincing to Cesare. Come on in my tent. You need something to eat? Let me cover you with this blanket.
Yes.
We are going to be fine, you know? But that really made a question rise up in my mind, too. Sometimes when there is a portion of the job, maybe that God has given us, that is very hard to carry out, or we're saying, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Mm. Like, God's justice is not like our justice. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. So sometimes something where you think it could sound extreme or radical, if you know that God has spoken, then are we being obedient? Or again, are we trying to have our own hand in it and say, wait a minute, let it go through my jasmine filter first, see if this makes sense? Because that was a very strong, I mean, when we learn about JL, like, she finished the job.
Oh, she knew
how important that was.
She did.
And she did it.
She did.
You know?
And we're not advocating that kind of activity. But do you know who the enemy is?
Yes.
And can you cast down and kill the lies that you hear in your own kitchen?
Yes.
You know? Or does your husband come home to a screaming maniac?
Mm-hmm.
Well, mine does sometimes. But not on a good day. And I like to contrast JL with Eve. All right. Another beautiful, lovely lady who did not know who the enemy was and did not discern between his lies and was not strong enough to defeat those lies and cast them down and even drew her husband into sin with her.
And I think we're all guilty of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we use those manipulative tactics to get our way because we know that we can and we know how to tire someone out. We know. I've even had somebody tell me willingly to use sexual intimacy as a way to manipulate. And they thought they were giving me great advice. It was almost like, oh, little one, you've only been married for this amount of time. Let me guide you. Later, I found out this woman was not married herself. And in addition, I think it was just something that she truly felt like I needed her help with. And this was a very, very basic conversation. But for her, it was, oh, you know, this is what I would do. No leading of the Holy Spirit, no prayer time. You know, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. I can get my husband to do almost anything and I don't use sex. I get him to laugh.
Aww.
Now, if I plan and I pray and I really want this purse or I really want to do this thing and I talk to him about it and he's not open, I'll wait, I'll pray some more, and then I'll just bring it up in a silly, funny way.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be nagging someone and getting them to laugh at the same time.
Right.
You
and
know?
Think about the value in having relationship with a person. You know, a lot of times when we reach for these things that are kind of secular rooted, you know, like we're saying, no, the relationship that we have is not enough. Godly principle is not enough. Or I don't want to wait. I don't like that this makes my flesh uncomfortable. So I'm going to use this loophole so that at least I can walk around and look cute with my little bag, even though it sacrificed a portion of your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the thing about it is that what is our ultimate goal as far as every day when we want to be in God's will?
Yeah.
Are we saying, God, help your voice to be the one that is prevalent over all the others because you know I'm in a fight today? Or are you already yielding in a way because you know that sometimes God will allow you to be uncomfortable as you grow in him?
Yeah. Ladies, you know? It's not worth it in the long run.
No.
I like to talk about Ruth, a refugee who knew how to be loyal.
Yes.
She submitted beautifully to Naomi, her mother-in-law. She honored Boaz, her boss, and yet she still wasn't afraid to ask him to marry her.
I love this example of Ruth. You know, I think about her because I remember just going over this story again and just thinking about Naomi really pushing her, You really should leave. I don't have anything for you. My son is dead. Are you honestly going to wait? Even if I were to remarry and have other sons, would you wait for them to grow up? This is a bad plan. Please go. Please go. And I love her response because I had never looked at it the way that I did before. And she says, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. in verse 16. And she's communicating the fact that her heart has already turned toward the hard thing of God because she was certain of God's will still unfolding in her life in the face of adversity. And I think this is a really powerful question that we have to ask ourselves, because there was no type of personal gain for Ruth, except that she would know that God was completely glorified through her life.
Excellent point.
Completely. There was no personal, oh, and Ruth, after a few years, I'm going to give you this promise of this. Nothing like that. It was solely, I will be glorified if you obey me.
Beautiful.
And then look at what God did. You know, his plans are so much bigger, you know, and I love that, Michelle, because we are so, so, so connected to self-preservation.
Sure.
I mean, it's not even something you have to teach us, you know? And this was not something that Ruth was concerned about. She said, my heart has turned towards you. My God is going to be your God. My people are going to be your people. We are going to stay in this forever, because Beautiful. That's what God wants me to do. And I'm not thinking about me. I'm thinking about him.
And there was a lesson in there for Naomi that she wasn't the deliverer.
Right.
You know, the deliverance didn't come through her.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes us older ladies have to relax and let God be God.
Wow.
You know, sometimes we're just too smart for our own purses.
I think that's the older and the younger ladies, actually.
But I think about Miriam in contrast to Ruth. Mm-hmm. Miriam wasn't loyal.
Mm.
In Numbers 12, she's forming a conspiracy with Aaron, her brother, against Moses, her other brother. And why is she doing this? I mean, they've come out of Egypt. They've come through the Red Sea. She's apparently the praise and worship leader. It's incredible. People are, you know, loving her, honoring her. She's in the top trio or whatever, but that's not enough. Mm-hmm. And she loses it when her brother marries someone she doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And she forms a conspiracy.
Yes.
And she gets spanked really hard for it. And we don't ever hear anything about Miriam again.
You know, I noticed that. I was looking for things about her at one point, and I said, oh, I guess
that
not.
The story ends there.
But I love what you said. It wasn't enough, you know? And this is a voice inside of us as women. I mean, I really think as people, but there's always something inside of you that wants to strive for more. You want the recognition. You want the admiration.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be able to say, I am someone that people want to be like. You like that feeling. But then what happens when the project that you've been investing in for the last year is finally done? That lack is there again, you know, and there's nothing wrong with being an ambitious person. There's nothing wrong with being responsible, but there's a very fine line between I'm going to put everything I have in here as far as skills and talents and being obedient to God versus now I am worshiping this because I am now roping this into my identity. I want people to see me as somebody who accomplishes great things, and I'm so great, and I'm so this, and I'm so that. And I do think it can really be a security issue.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about women who have influence, who have discernment. Let's talk about women who have power.
Mm-hmm.
Esther.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A little orphan who may have had dreams of marrying the boy next door,
mm-hmm.
living in a cute little house with a white picket fence, and all her dreams die because she's too beautiful.
Wow.
You know, hello. Wow. And she exercises power propped up by prayer and fasting and Mordecai to appeal to the king.
Yes.
There's a book I read, The Rule of No Complaining, and a point it makes is only complain to the person who can solve the problem.
Wow.
You know, so I love that she used her power. Mm-hmm. She didn't start any kind of politicking.
Mm-hmm,
she didn't reach out to any advisors. She kept everything close to the vest.
Yes.
And when the time was right, and it wasn't right the first time, it was right the second time, she went right to her husband.
Wow.
You know, and dealt with it.
Wow. I love that. You know, timing is important, you know, because God's timeline and your timeline are definitely not the same thing.
Not ever.
You know, and I just think about how many things when we start putting our hands on God's plan and saying, now it's time for the leadership to change towards me, how much damage we do.
Well, yes, exactly. Athaliah, in 2 Kings 11.
Yes. Oh my gosh, what a mess.
Very difficult to even read that story.
I know.
But we find out she kills all her grandchildren mm-hmm. and any other princes so she can usurp authority and be on the throne. Mm. And this is very upsetting. But she's the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, mm-hmm. the daughter. Mm-hmm. So she has seen her mother.
Oh, yes. And she is her mother's daughter.
She apparently is.
Yes.
You know?
And that's the thing, you know, when somebody is watching your example as someone who is a leader in the church or even another body member, your life speaks. It truly does. And I'm thinking about so many people that glean from just watching you from afar. They're looking for the manifestation of God in your life.
Sure.
Beyond your words and beyond your beautiful biblical language. But I'm sorry, I think the Athaliah mindset, it's very easy to creep in for a lot of us.
Well, you know, we all come under that when we want our way or the highway.
Yes.
You know, any woman who's ever had an abortion has, in effect, killed her grandchildren mm-hmm. that would have come from that child. Mm-hmm. You know, we sacrifice the immediate.
Yes.
You know, we don't even care
right.
about the future. I've got to deal with this. This is how I'll deal with it.
Right.
And yeah, this is a very difficult woman to read her story.
Yeah.
But she met her just end.
Right.
You know, God had justice with that.
Right. You know, I wonder whether or not we gravitate as women towards circumstances that are solely focused on God.
Mm.
Like when we look at a situation and we can say, I can be used here. It will be hard. I can see that this will be my cross. But I'm putting the glorification of God ahead of my insecurity. I'm putting it ahead of my jealousy. Mm. I love what you said during our last show, Michelle. You said sometimes your feelings have to catch up with you.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
You have to make the decision for God. And then everything else that is still that residue that you know shouldn't be there, take it to God.
True.
Don't start in the circles of the backbiting and ask people if they'll get on the bandwagon of agreement with mm-hmm. you. We have this belief that really is going to kind of cool the burn, but it doesn't.
You know, we abhor what Athaliah did, but our hearts are also broken for her because mm-hmm. she lost her son.
Yes.
And obviously the grief, depression
yes.
led to some kind of insanity, really.
Yes.
You know, it's wow. We as women have to surround ourselves with people who can challenge us.
Yes. Yes. And you know, no one is exempt from a lot of the circumstances that these women faced.
No.
You know, in our weakest moments, we don't easily run to God. In our weakest moments, we start saying, okay, now the situation feels chaotic internally, so I'm going to take the reins.
Sure.
You know, and those are the moments he wants to teach us the most. No, you get on your knees, run even quicker to me, because there is damage on the way if you are not totally surrendered, even in this despair.
So good. Let's talk about women and how they relate to the body of Christ or to the people of God and Rahab.
Yeah.
I taught third grade for many years, and I always called her a businesswoman who God gave discernment to. You know, I wonder as she sat in her apartment on the Jericho wall, if she saw the sunset and the sunrise. She, with everyone else, heard the terrible stories of what God had done for these people. And everyone was afraid. She admits she was afraid. But she, out of all the people in the city, turned toward God.
Yes.
You know, she was confronted with the terrible power of God and turned toward him. She chose to be on the winning side by identifying with God's people in Joshua 2.
Wow. Yeah. And you know, sometimes I think we're faced with that, just like Deborah, just like Ruth, just like Mary, as I had mentioned before. Sometimes we see that what we're turning towards is the unlikely choice. Sometimes we are choosing to be singled out. If God has spoken to us and we know all that's coming, but we know that it's right, it's going to be hard for us to carry it out, you know? But I think that's part of the courage and the decision. You know, God has spoken and I know what he said. There is no confusion here. It's just whether or not I'm willing to actually let him lead the rest of this situation. And what amazing things he does when you let him.
Beautiful. We have a great comment on Facebook. Barbara Johnson, she says that God has many methods of grace. It's vital to accept God's method and have truth respond in our lives.
That's amazing. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much.
And I contrast Rahab with Sapphira.
Oh,
how
yes.
she relates to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
She got an image mm-hmm. to uphold.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be seen as one of the good guys, one of the generous ones. But at the same time, she also wants to get on the dole.
Yes.
You know, and have the body take care of her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she manipulated her husband or if he manipulated her. We have seen, I hate to say it, and I won't mention any names, women lead their husband out of our assembly.
Wow.
You know, and it's very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. But as women, we have power.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis Eve,
mm-hmm.
Genesis 3, God shows us the incredible power we have over men.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
And I think we've been fighting it ever since, you know, just making sure that we understand, hey, we have this amazing capability, you know. And I think there's something to be said about that when we look at Deborah's example. Like, God completely and purposefully used her. And she even proclaimed that. I love that when she was having a conversation with Barak. She said, you know, okay, you know, you can come with me, but let it be known that God chose a woman for this. Like, it is going to be a woman who leads God's people into this freedom. And I love that because I don't think there was a pride there. I think it was an encouragement that we need it to be documented and go down in history that God does trust women.
It's so good. And she wasn't even talking about herself.
Right.
Deborah didn't pick up the sword
right.
and jump on a horse and run after
right.
the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just rested.
Yes.
She knew God would use a woman and she just rested in that. And what those two women did that
mm-hmm.
day led to 40 years of
yes.
peace for the nation.
Yes.
Wouldn't
yes.
you like that on your tombstone?
I know, right? Amazing.
So amazing.
It's awesome.
As women, we have trouble with picking out good confidants.
Oh.
You know, and we see Mary, a teenager in trouble who's had this amazing revelation from God mm-hmm. in the Gospel of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she does not feel comfortable staying home and telling her parents because she runs like a rabbit
right.
to her cousin Elizabeth.
Mm.
Ladies, when you're in trouble, you got to know who to confide in.
Oh, yes.
And then
how
to rejoice in the miracles of God.
Yes. Yes, that's really crucial, Michelle, because I feel like, especially you being in the leadership role that you have within our Baltimore church, I'm sure there are some personalities or some instances where you said, now that I know this person is involved in this, I know what to expect. And sometimes that's a great thing, and sometimes it's a not so great thing. And of course, we're all works in progress, you know, but sometimes the way that we respond to adversity, it can cause a ripple effect in so much when really we needed to remain quiet before the Lord, or we needed to ask God, is the person that I'm thinking about going to who you want me to go to? And sometimes there's so much you are saved from because you could think you know the heart of a person, but God knows it better. You know,
so good.
And even the word reminds us, like, the heart is desperately wicked.
Mm-hmm.
So even if somebody wants to be your friend, maybe there is a weak area where they just don't know how to respond in that maturity of Christ. You need the mind of Christ to know how to respond to a lot of situations that are brought to you.
Yeah. You know,
it's not just
even
something
more
we have.
Is needed when someone wants to be your enemy.
Yes.
You know, discernment is not a sword that we chop people's heads off.
Right.
Discernment is a sword that should break our heart.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And we know in the past 10 years, we have changed immensely.
Mm-hmm.
We have to give that opportunity to people.
Yes.
Maybe it'll take 10 years before your enemy becomes your friend or at least a neutral person.
Yes.
But, you know, let's trust God.
Yes.
And I contrast Mary with Rebecca.
Uh-huh.
Rebecca is not seeing the promise of God happening.
Mm-hmm.
He promised her that her younger son would be the top dog.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband made the horrible mistake of having favorites.
Yep.
Just stop that. Don't do that.
Yes.
And she confides in her younger son.
You know, I was like, Rebecca, you didn't represent the moms the best.
Oh.
I understand the struggle, but I remember reading that in Genesis 27 and saying, you know, how badly will you fight for an earthly security?
Mm-hmm.
How badly, how far will you go? You're going to involve the kids now. You're going to involve the kids. You're going to discount God all because you think that you're wiser. That is so dangerous.
True.
It's so dangerous, true. You know? And I feel like as a mom, there could be so much of that maternal, no, I have to do this. This is what's right. Sometimes you have to do the wrong thing to do the right thing. You
my.
Know, there's so many, there's so many mixed wisdoms inside of our decisions, you know? But I love the reality of the fact that women were facing this. They've always been facing this, you know, but God has a word, no matter how bad the situation looks or how scared you are.
And nobody had more discernment into the plan of God than Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's watching her son for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And what does she do with the information?
Mm-hmm.
She hides it in her heart.
Mm.
She treasures these things in her heart.
Yes, yes. So I have a comparison for you.
Oh, tell me.
So I remember when I was looking up Deborah and just thinking about just, it looked like it was such a beautiful obedience. I'm not saying there wasn't any sense of inner turmoil. You know, anytime God reveals just a piece of his plan to us, I think we naturally say, okay, God, are you sure? This is sounding like it's not practical, but with you, I know it's going to happen. And I just thought about God revealing to her very clearly, this is what I want you to do. And she just walked in it. She rested in it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, who is somebody in the Bible who made it very clear, you don't tell me what to do? And you know who I thought of? Herodia.
Oh, boy.
When I thought about Herodia, I said,
oh, boy.
Herodia, you don't handle correction very well. I'm sorry, you can't just chop someone's head off or order for someone's head to be chopped off just because you don't like being corrected. And that's what we see in Matthew 14:4. For Herod had arrested John and chained him in prison at the demand of his wife, Herodias, his brother Philip's ex-wife, because John had told him it was wrong for him to marry her. You know what? Sometimes you're wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to be told.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to understand what your limitations are also when you are offended. Sometimes that anger, sometimes that offense you feel, it spirals out of control.
Sure.
But isn't it a wonderfully beautiful art when you can take the correction if you know it's from God?
The most valuable skill a woman can have is learning how to take no.
Yes.
You know, we just watched the Super Bowl, some of us,
mm-hmm.
and we see all these players on the field, but they're completely connected to their coach.
Right.
You know, and their coach can change things. The quarterback can change things.
Mm-hmm.
And what if half the team said no?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing what you say.
Right.
I can make this happen.
And that is exactly, I could like picture her just sitting in the chair saying, don't tell me what to do. You do not tell me what to do. I have status.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much. And you are not going to make me feel embarrassed or offended.
Yeah.
Even though he was right. And that's where I think maybe even a little bit of the conviction came from. You have publicly denounced my decision. Usually when people in high status make decision, what do other people do? They follow. Oh,
sure.
Well, I guess that's allowed now.
Well,
I guess
divorce,
that is okay now.
Divorce, isn't that just trading up?
Yep.
I mean, we trade up our phones.
Right.
We trade up our houses.
Right. Right.
Do we trade up our husbands?
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is such a mess, ladies.
Like for something that horrible to become a trend.
Yeah.
I'm so glad she was corrected.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing. Sometimes you need to be corrected because you are loved. It is not because somebody wants to see how much you can take. Now, sometimes people do have an ill motive of wanting to humiliate or embarrass. But even with that, there's going to come embarrassments. You're going to be wrong sometimes.
Sure.
You're not God, and it's okay. And he knew you weren't God when he allowed you to be on the earth. But that doesn't mean that it's a validation for you to step outside of the will of God and cause a complete mess
to
cover yourself.
I agree. As women, sometimes we confuse femininity and sexuality.
Yes.
We've got Phoebe in Romans 16, a letter-carrying deaconess.
Yes.
Mad leadership skills.
Yes.
Discernment, knew how to meet the deepest needs of the saints around her, practically and spiritually, and she serves Paul in the body with her femininity.
Yes.
Contrasting in my mind to Delilah. who only sees that she's got sexuality, and she baits and traps Samson for money.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I love the way that Phoebe is, she's recognized by Paul. You know, he really speaks about her with such a tenderness. You know, she's a sister. She's a servant. You know, she's the one who's there in times of need.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes when we read these accounts of women in our Bible, we say, wow, I wish I could know more about her. But then when we think about what was made sure to be included about her, we can also turn that question around and say, if this is what God wanted us to remember, then maybe this is the most significant aspect of their life.
Excellent point.
You know,
femininity is a gift. Mm-hmm. It comes with a genetic component. And so because we are different than men, are we inferior or superior? No, we're just different.
Right.
You know, my husband and I were always laughing because he has strength, but I have stamina. You know, I can start the project and get in trouble and, oh, help me, I need you. But then I can finish it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we blend our two qualities of strength and stamina.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that you can complement the situation when you are unified with someone else rather than making it a competition.
Yes.
You know? One way is the way that the world thinks and the flesh thinks, and I think it's very natural for us. But as we grow and having the heart of God, I love that, you know, seeing how you can bless that person by joining them or saying, you know what, I'm not gifted here, but you are.
Sure.
So let's use those together.
Excellent. Can women be deacons in the church? Well, here's Phoebe.
Yep.
In Romans 16, who's taking a letter. And she gets Paul's blank check, help her with whatever she wants to do. Do I think a woman should be a deacon or a trustee in a meeting full of 12 men and one woman? I'm not exactly comfortable with that myself.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't?
No. Women change the atmosphere.
This
is one of our beautiful qualities.
Yes.
But we can make men feel comfortable and uncomfortable.
And I think vice versa. You know, there are certain things we just cannot relate to each other about. Or maybe I think we're on the same page and we're really not. You know, our hearts are wanting the same thing, but how we get there can be very different.
You know, and Paul doesn't say, let Phoebe preach next Sunday morning.
Right.
You know,
right.
He defines her as a sister, a saint, you know, this beautiful servant.
Yes.
But he doesn't say she's pastoring the church now.
Right. Right.
What's a woman's place in the church? Well, please, let's recognize each other's gifts.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of us, men.
and you know what? And I would add to that, don't be afraid of us, fellow women.
Yes.
You know, I think sometimes we can put people on pedestals or we can create a story about them based on little glimpses of their life that they see or that we see. And, you know, if we are not able to be unified together as women, how are we going to cross over and also support a pastoral team?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because that's the first thing that I think they would think about. Well, are these women really united? Because we are united. We have a vision here. And if we're going to have a group following behind us and supporting that, we don't need any additional things to worry about.
Sure.
Or if a problem comes up, we want to trust how they're going to handle it.
Sure.
You know?
Can women speak in church? Well, we just had a missions kickoff night, and it was Jillian Turk that was our MC. So apparently the answer to that is yes. In my mind, and of course this is just life according to Michelle, a woman can do anything an unordained man can do. So if we can give unordained men the opportunity to collect the offering or go on the mission field, you know, I think it's wonderful. Personally, I have my own conviction. I never speak when my husband's in the audience. Don't be passing the mic to me if my husband is sitting next to me. My husband always knows what I'm teaching. A lot of times he helps me study.
Sure.
But we are not going to be put in a situation where he has to as part of a captive audience, mm-hmm. listen to me. Mm. Let's even ask the question, is it acceptable that Jasmine and I are here on Grace Hour?
Oh, you went there?
Apparently it is, because here we are.
We love you guys.
But we're not on stage. We're not grabbing the mic. We're not occupying the pulpit.
No.
We are teaching.
Yes.
We are not preaching.
And, you know, both of us, we say jokingly all the time, maybe partial joking, partial serious. I don't know if you all know this, but every time Michelle and I are back together again to teach the show, it is miraculous to us. It is miraculous because there are so many battles. There are so many details of life. And yet God says, if you're still willing to be the vessel that I use, mm-hmm. I have something to say through you.
Yeah,
and it leaves us speechless every month, guys.
It's incredible.
Every month.
But pray for us because we go through stuff. Yes. I think you had your car stolen.
Yep. That was my weekend. Yep.
And I got bit by a spider and was out of commission for 2 days. So glory to God.
Yeah.
If you're a woman that wants to be a pastor, ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Why? Do you want the honor and accolades that a pastor, you think the easy job?
Right. I know. Right.
Oh my gosh. A pastor gets.
Right.
Why do you want to do all the heavy lifting? Mm-hmm. I ask you. Mm-hmm. You think you have a gift to preach? Well, I'll tell you, you might. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Elliot says, just because I can do something does not mean I should.
Amen.
You want to preach? Go preach to women.
Yes.
Go on outreach. Talk to people on the street. Go teach in a Sunday school.
Yes.
So here's a quick list of how to get men to do whatever you want.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, you can be like Jezebel. Treat your husband like a little baby where he becomes very passive, loses all initiative because he's afraid of you, and becomes very demotivated, and you can take over.
Wow.
You can be like Eve where you play word games with the devil and get your husband to indulge in these little compromises.
Yes.
Yeah, those little compromises have big consequences.
Oh, yes.
You can be like Miriam, where you tell all your friends your husband's faults and mistakes. Name of prayer requests.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you're obviously the spiritual superiority in that. You can be like Athaliah and assert your rights, even if it means killing your husband's dreams. Mm. You can be like Sapphira, just be a liar.
Wow.
You'll get your way. Nobody will know.
Wow.
Yep. You can be like Rebecca and manipulate your kids against your husband.
Oh, my goodness.
You can be like Delilah and use your sexuality to get what you want. Pout, cry, you read what she did until your husband caves.
Wow.
Do I want to be a pastor? Oh, good Lord, no. I have enough trouble handling all the power I have now.
You know, I love it, Michelle. I love it. I mean, it's one of those lists that abhors me. And yet I also know that I am prone to falling into the mindset of any of those women at any time.
Yeah.
And we all are, right? Nobody is exempt from the temptation of falling into a sinful mindset where the focus is you. And that's why we're talking about this, right? No one is saying limit your capability. No one is saying dumb yourself down. But we are saying, do you have the wisdom to surrender to God, which will be an outflow in everything else and everyone else whose life you are a part of?
Brilliant.
That is the big question for us.
How about we base our lives on Psalm 11, a gracious woman retains honor.
Amen.
And we have a choice. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be right? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be gracious? Mm-hmm. Are we going to be loud? Are we going to be gracious? Are we going to throw that coffee cup at our husband's head? Or are we going to be gracious?
Can we be offended for God's sake?
I think that's something
that I'm learning right now. I've sensed God looking in my face and saying, can you please be offended for me? Can you be offended for me? There is a soul on the line here.
Beautiful.
I see what's past this offense. Can you be offended for me?
Yep.
You know, it's amazing, you know, how much we battle in the mind. But, you know, I was also reading something inside of the Why Her book, and she said, a lot of the untangling of our souls begins in our mind.
Excellent.
And it's so true.
Excellent.
What are we feeding our mind yep. with? And that's for good days and bad days.
Yep.
What are we cleaving to?
Are you offended that your church won't let women be pastors?
Mm.
Well, you know, are you offended that there was one tree in the garden that God said, don't touch that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you trying to protect a little tree in your backyard?
Mm.
You know, let's be like Deborah.
Yes.
Let's study God's word
yes.
and be a judge. We call them counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Make time for other women.
Yes.
To encourage them.
Yes.
Let's be like Jael,
yes.
the kind of wife that knows her husband is not the enemy
mm-hmm.
and can defeat the lies of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be like Ruth, be yes. loyal.
Yes. Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
Let's be like
even when
Esther.
There's nothing in sight that you could gain.
Yes.
Right?
That's the point.
Yes, right.
Okay?
Yes, yes.
That's what Satan was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these things are satanic
yes.
Motivations.
Yes.
Let's be like Esther. Let's be a queen and be quiet,
mm-hmm.
but have the courage to confront.
Yes.
You know, consider yes. the kingdom more important than your fear of rocking the boat.
Yes.
Let's be yes. like Rahab, discerning and choosing God's people.
Amen.
Even if it means giving up some relationships.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
be like Mary, develop friendships with godly women.
Yes.
Let's be like Phoebe, the sister, the servant, the saint, the succorer.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
ladies, watch what kind of clothing you're wearing. Spring is coming.
Mm.
It's not the trees. I saw these beautiful mauve trees this morning as I drove in. I've seen daffodils already.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time to dress up, not
yeah.
dress down.
Oh.
Watch what you do. Watch what you say and watch what you spend your money on.
Mm. Amen. Amen. You know, Michelle, when you really want to have an authentic walk with God, there are going to be some losses. But there are going to be gains. But the gains for Christ, those are the only gains that last.
Amen.
So help us, God. Help all of us as we pursue you, because you are the greatest gain. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us today. We love, love, love talking to you. The Grace Hour Show is a ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. And feel free to join us for church services 9, 11, and 6:30 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Also, check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and more. We loved having you join us today. God bless you all. Until next time, we'll see you.